Now, JJ, a big announcement. The Sports and Entertainment Network is announcing today that Hall of Fame AFL player and coach Nathan Buckley will join a stellar SEN breakfast lineup. Buckley, of course, as we know, ended his long-term tenure as coach of Collingwood last year after a decade in the position. He played 280 AFL games for the Pies, the majority of them with Collingwood. He's going to join SEN on Mondays with Gary Lyon for breakfast with Gary and Bucks. And then he's going to back it up on Tuesday on mornings with Waitley, with Jared Waitley. This is a seismic coup, you will agree.
Huge, huge. The media coup of the season. He would have been he'd be the most coveted person coming out of the game.
Well, we know how good he is in the media space. We've seen
it before. We've seen it at Channel 7 and the like.
And now he comes in after a decade of coaching at AFL level. So it's an enormous acquisition for the Sports Entertainment Network. I mentioned Jared Waitley. So it'll be breakfast with Gary and Bucks and then mornings with Waitley. Jared Waitley sat down a couple of days ago to record this interview with Nathan Buckley. We'll pick it up at the beginning, of course, and we'll speak
to
you.
That's a good place to start.
It is, and we'll speak to you on the other side when it concludes and what it might mean, Nathan Buckley's acquisition, for the rest of the breakfast schedule for 2022. Here's Jared Waitley with Nathan Buckley.
His has always been one of the most compelling voices in the footy conversation. Hall of Fame player, long-time coach. In 2022, his presence in the media will play a major role in shaping the debate and thinking around the game. And this AFL season, you will hear him here on SEN, on Monday Breakfast with Gary Lyon and with me on Waitley on Tuesdays. Nathan Buckley, this time when I say welcome to SEN, I mean welcome to SEN.
Yeah, thanks, Jared, and thanks for pulling me back into football mode too. I've been treading water and obviously dabbling at a few other things, but yeah, to come back into the cut and thrust of the football world and radio, I suppose, broadcasting, and to be able to speak about other sports as well is something I'm looking forward to.
You've lived your whole adult life virtually by the football calendar. I imagine, as rigid as it is, it also provides a bit of a structure to the way you go.
Yes, there's no doubt that life's been a little bit more transient and open. Yeah, June last year when I stood down from coaching, and obviously with the world we're living in at the moment, it's probably provided more space than I've been afforded in the past. But the things you love always come back around, and I've got a great passion for the game of footy and to be able to talk about it and to pull it apart and try and work out what's happening underneath or share that insight with the listeners and viewers at different times is something I'm looking forward to.
We've probably all asked ourselves across these strange couple of years whether we've used the time we've been given well. The time you were given through circumstances, do you feel like you've used it well?
You did tell me off air that you had a bit of a blind spot with celebrity, mate, so that's happening.
Yes.
Front and centre right now. I'm not sure if that was using time well, but it definitely was a departure from a comfort zone or something that I would have chosen to do in the past. And I think that is, for what it was an adventure of its own. I've been able to spend more time with my boys, spend more time with friends. And I suppose when you go away from something that you've known for so long, it's a challenge. I can't hide that. It's a challenge when you've been so regimented and so structured for your life towards a particular aim and for a particular group of people. It is a big life change when that disappears.
I haven't watched Celebrity, but I am deeply fascinated. Are you watching it as it goes to where to know what's there and what's in the public domain, or have you pushed it away?
No, I haven't pushed it away. I'm trying to. I think this is part of the journey. I think there's part of being present on the social media side of things and engaging with the people that are watching it with my fellow campmates. It's definitely been something that I didn't expect. I thought I'd just travel the journey in the camp and then sort of head out and be done with it. But yeah, watching it again is, I suppose, living it all over again.
How are your boys with their feedback?
Well, they were a major reason for going into it in the first place. My young bloke in particular just wanted to see me eat rancid food and do things that you would not normally do, jump out of helicopters or whatever they threw at me. So he was all over it, and he now is very excited to see the culmination of those activities.
The footy season that's ahead of us, Bucks. Are you sort of braced for what your involvement will be and how it will differ and whether you'll find it satisfying as January is usually such a planning time, I imagine, and you're building something that then goes to be tested from February and March onward. How are you approaching 2022?
Look, I'm really open-minded, Jared. I think what you just detailed is accurate. It's very different. To be honest, I haven't stopped to think about that as often as you might think. You know, I suppose it's the marquee times when you know guys are going back to training post-Christmas or they're going back to training sort of after the off-season break. You know, there might be, you know, Mark Keane stands down and heads back to state, doesn't come back from Ireland, and you know, he decides that he's going to retire from AFL footy, or Jordy DeGoey gets caught in a circumstance over in New York, and then all of the associated discussions and permutations sort of kick up. My reality's been very different when those things have popped up, and they're probably the only things that pull you back in and go, okay, well, what if? But you just, on the whole, you just want to see the people that you've been involved with do well. And I know that the club's in good hands, and I'm an interested onlooker and wanting to see them do well also.
Do you hope that Jordan still becomes the player that you would have imagined while you were his coach?
Yeah, I think that what we're talking about and speculating on now is an off-field indiscretion or an off-field situation. And yeah, what we do is that often bleeds into the on-field, I suppose, assessment or judgment of the professional. I think we've got to be real careful to separate the two. I mean, Jordan probably had one of his better years of his career and was tracking in the right direction last year. And the comparisons with Dustin Martin are probably unfair. There's not many Dustin Martins getting around in the last 100 years. So I don't think we can expect Jordy DeGoey to necessarily travel in those footsteps. But you know, he's still a young footballer that's developing and finding his way. And I think, you know, given consistency over the next 2 or 3 years on field, we probably will see him improve. But at the moment, that's not what anyone's really focusing on. We're seeing the off-field stuff, which isn't great for him or the club.
Will it be impossible, Bucks, to let go of the inner coach? In fact, it mightn't serve any purpose to let go of your inner coach. Will you always look at the game? Do you feel that way?
I think so. I mean, I think that's... I was actually having a conversation with a friend, and I think that is part of who I am. I mean, I'm always coaching in some shape or form, and a big part of that is listening and observing and learning, and it's not just in footy but in life. And I think that, you know, there is that element. I think coaching is, for me, breaking coaching down is simply to try and help someone along on their journey and make, you know, help them take the next step for themselves or understand themselves better. And if that's what coaching is, and I do believe that's fundamentally what it is, I don't want to be not doing that, because I'd love to think that you can help people along on their journeys.
I suspect there was a circumstance in which you could have been coaching this year. Are you glad that you made that decision not to pursue it immediately and to give yourself the breather and the time to contemplate it all?
Yeah, I think that only the individual... Yeah, and in this case, me, only I know exactly what my circumstances were and are, you know, what I had a passion for. You know, and in my life, I've had some other things pop up that have taken a lot of focus and that take priority, to be honest. And I think you've got to ask yourself those questions as you go along. So I was not in a position or in the mindset to another alternatives in 2022 to go back into club land. And I don't know exactly what the future holds. I'm staying in the moment as much as possible and looking forward to, you know, the challenge of this year and being able to look at it from the outside in, share a little bit of that knowledge and have a bit of fun along the way.
So I am curious, Bucks, and this is obviously a conversation for a year or for a couple of years, depending on how you go about it. How will you know whether you want to go back into club land at some point, whether you want to have another go at coaching if there is an opportunity?
You probably get really existential here, Jared, but I think you know one way or the other. You know, I'm really content with where I'm at personally and professionally at the moment. I've probably never sat in this space without the structure that we spoke about, sometimes that structure means that you're less agile, you're less ready to look at different options or different possibilities. So for me, I think that's the position I'm in. I don't mind being there at the moment, and I really don't know what the future will hold. I've got a bit of exploration to be doing in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months.
You're no stranger to the footy media, to game coverage, to programs. I've been a huge beneficiary of that over recent years with you. What would you like to bring to the footy landscape?
Yeah, I do hold a fair bit of cynicism around the way that where journalism has moved to, and potentially how the media landscape informs individuals of what's going on in a sporting sense. And I think sometimes we go for headline a little bit much, or a lot too much and I don't think that we tell the full story. I think that we give it a very surface level view of what might be going on, because I think that it engages more people. I think we need to try and go a little bit deeper, a little bit wider, come at it from different angles and see if we can paint a better picture for people rather than just the headline. So I'd like to think that I can be a part of that I can provide a little bit more context for people and some insight potentially, and prosecute the headline a little bit more and see where we get to.
That might be, well, it will be compelling. It might be combative, and you've never been a stranger to that either.
No, and I think that you've got to be a part. Like, if I'm going to be a part of a team, you've got to understand that everyone's got roles to play. I mean, I think that, I'd like to be forward with that. And I think sometimes it's just asking questions, I think it needs to be for the betterment of the product. It needs to be for the betterment of the listener or the viewer to get a better understanding or a different understanding of what's going on. And hopefully it means the discussion is more real, more authentic. It stimulates each other more, the listener and the viewer more. And yeah, mate, I'd love to be a part of that. And I don't know exactly where it finishes up, but I think it'll be exciting and engaging to see and to be a part of.
And it won't just be footy, as you point out. Some of our best conversation have strayed to other sports and the lessons there. So you've always been a tennis lover. The Australian Open is before us. The country has been gripped by the Novak Djokovic scenario over the past week and a half, the past couple of weeks. Have you engaged in that? Have you thought that through? Not just the, that's sport and politics and it's a social study. I can't think of a more acute issue to depict our times with a sporting lens.
Yeah, look, I have, and I don't know the whole ins and outs. The sense I get is that that there's been a lot of politics and manipulation behind the scenes, and probably a bit of nudge, wink, wink that sort of got Novak to the position that he was in the country, and with the potential of trying to manage things from that position. And it was always going to be very public. So you've got the Australian government, the Victorian government, the Tennis Australia, you've got Novak, who's obviously the ATP, and it's a big industry. You've got every person in the Australian public that's witnessing it. So it's been huge. It's been a balls up, there's no doubt. And I don't know whether the decision is more political than anything else, but it's just a shame that you won't see a guy, the best guy in the world, playing his trade in one of the major tournaments in the world. But I can understand the reasons why the government has put its foot down, given what seems like a lack of transparency in the process.
So there's tennis, and then in tandem, the cricket has unfolded. Australia dominant in the Ashes. I think one of the most fascinating coaching case studies we've seen in many a year. Justin Lang has won everything over the past couple of months, and yet he seems to be coming toward the end of a job that he would love to go on with. Have you peered into that and what's been described as the difference between footy coaching and cricket coaching?
Yeah, I think, that's probably a case in point. I mean, how many people have actually sat in a room with Justin Langer and observed him going about his business? So there's obviously been some suggestion and anecdotes that have popped up around potentially losing the locker room at times. And I'd suggest that as a coach that is inevitable, that at times there is a bit of friction, there is a bit of push and pull. But ultimately, you need to be judged by results and the prospects going forward. And I mean, right now, the Australian team looks like it's in good nick. There seems to have been a little bit of commentary around where to attribute the reasons for those success and a little bit of moving it away from Justin towards other coaches or other players. The fact is, it's always a group endeavour. It's always a group activity. And right now, the organisation seems to be moving well. Only they know how well they're set up for 3 years, 5 years. The people on the ground themselves will know whether Lang is the right guy to go forward. But he's had a lot of success, there's no doubt.
Those are the starts of longer conversations. Bucks, from a footy perspective, as we look towards 2022, it's going to be interrupted. It's going to be challenging. Any active sport at the moment is living that. And after the past 2 years, who's to say exactly what form that will take? And then there's the chase for Melbourne. How are you thinking around the picture of what might define 2022?
Well, I think what might define 2022 is how often you get your best players available and whether the timing's right. You know, we could get 9 or 10 months down the track, or 9 months down the track, get to a final and one of the key combatants is missing 6 of their best players. We don't know exactly how that's going to look, but the NFL has given us a little bit of a snapshot of that, and those, you know, personnel shifts and changes have been something that each club has had to overcome at different times, and they're in playoff mode now. But I wonder whether the positives go to ground when there's more on the line, and whether each club finds a way to manipulate to keep their best players on the park. I think that, you know, the landscape in sport is difficult. I think we're handling it better as we go along, and obviously the more you do something, the better you get at it. But Melbourne were brilliant last year. The football that they displayed was so electric. It was as good a football as we've seen for a long time, or that I've seen for a long time. And that withering burst that that they put on, and just got better as the finals went on. So they're tracking in the right direction, but it all starts again. You go back to scratch, you wipe the slate clean, and you've got to do all the work again. And all reports are is they're fit and they're firing and they're still pretty hungry, but you know, it's hard to do. It's hard to back up. It doesn't happen that often.
It'll be great to share the journey of the season with you, Bucks. Welcome aboard, and I can't wait to resume our conversations in the coming weeks.
Likewise, Jared. Thanks, mate.
Jared Waitley with the highly decorated former player and coach Nathan Buckley. So it will be breakfast with Gary and Bucks on Monday. Now, JJ, there's a lot of Wisp worry out there at the moment, which is understandable because we don't want to lose the Wisp. We don't want to lose Tim Watson.
Have we lost him?
We haven't. So this
have
is where
not.
It sits.
We have not.
We have not.
Right.
So this is a decision made by Gary and Tim, and I'll let them speak for themselves when they return. But basically, to summarise, the impact of COVID on them, their families, and a desire to scale back has seen them make the decision to reduce the number of days on SEM Breakfast this year. So it will be Gary and Bucks on a Monday, 6 till 9, commencing February 28. It'll be Gary and Tim, normal service resuming, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, commencing March 1. On Fridays, Fiery Fridays, Fun Fridays, everything in the mix. What about this? Kane and Kingy. Kane Corns, David King will be heard on Fridays 6 till 9 from February 4. And Kingy will also join Waitley for the Monday means test each week. Now, on the reduction of days and team additions, Tim Watson has provided us with a statement. Tim says, Gary and I have decided we can only tolerate each other 2 days a week, but after long negotiation, he has agreed to try 3. I look forward to reuniting with him and hope this new arrangement sees us still together until October. He says Mondays will be must-listen when Gary and Bucks go head-to-head after a weekend of footy. And he says, with some encouragement, Kane and Kingy will have some strong views about the game on Fridays as well. And Gary Lyon, for his part, said, if Tim wasn't to be available and I had the choice to sit down on a Monday morning and dissect a massive weekend of footy with anyone, then Nathan Buckley would be at the top of every list. He has proven in the past to be one of the smartest and most articulate and incisive analysts in football media. So we haven't lost Gary. We haven't lost the Wisp. We've added Nathan Buckley. Jared Waitley's riding shotgun as well. It is win, win, win for mine.
Fireball Fridays, I'm calling it.
I like that.